I hope that everybody got the notice that that we're going to be starting with the mitzvah of Shemitah Ksofim. Normally, we follow in the Seder, and we're up to the mitzvah of Tzitzis, which we'll return to very shortly. But since it's an extraordinary time, the end of Shemitah, and we have the month of Elul to learn about this mitzvah. So, I don't know if you got the email, but I asked on Shabbos to bring the second chelik of Mrs. Amalek, for those who have the second chelik, and it's on page Resh Tes Vav, Mitzvahs Asei Kuf Mem Aleph. Mitzvahs Asei Kuf Mem Aleph, Mrs. Amalek. The minig is always to give a little bit, to talk a little bit, but there's Sicha, Mahakadama, to this man, and I just had a thought. I was thinking last night what I wanted to share with you by way of entering into this man. Also, it doesn't usually come out this way that we have a full month of Elul. It's a very big schus. Chlal and the yeshivas, everything starting when it should be starting. I mentioned on Shabbos at Shul Shudas a little bit. I just brought up the subject of the Tkiya Shofar, of the blowing of the Shofar in the month of Elul. The actual wording of the Tur in Tov Kuf Pei Aleph is Ki Acha Cheta Egel, after the Cheta Egel. Ola Moshe L'marim Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim on Rosh Chodesh Elul, V'he'eviru Kol Shofar. This is the beginning of the minig to blow Shofar during the month of Elul. So after the Cheta Egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, the Torah writes on Rosh Chodesh Elul, He'eviru Kol Shofar, they blew the Shofar, Shlo Yitu Oid, that they should not make a mistake. The time was clearly announced through the blowing of the shofar that there should be no mistake as far as repeating the error that took place with the Cheta Egel, with the timing of how to calculate Moshe Rabbeinu going up and coming down. So the shofar was blown, Shali to Oid, Vahashem Nis'ala Ba'is HaShofar, and that was a Kiddush Shem Shemaim, Hashem Nis'ala, that there was Rachamim, compassion of Hashem, that was awakened, that was aroused because of that shofar blowing. And then the Torah concludes and says, V'nasu Hayomim Yimei Ratzon, these days, from Rosh Chodesh Elul, became, as a result of that, became days of Ratzon. Days of Ratzon, Ad Shenitzrasa Hashem Yom HaKippurim, until finally the Ritzui was complete, Hashem was completely appeased, it's a time of Ratzon, of love and of forgiveness and so on. Ad Shenitzrasa Hashem Yom HaKippurim, V'omal Moshe Salachti Kedvarech. And then Hashem's Baruch said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Salachti kidvaracha, I have forgiven them as you asked. So I was thinking, just in a very simple way. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim on the 18th day of Tammuz. He first went up. Remember, the first set of 40 days was on Yuches Tammuz, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim until Erev Rosh Chodesh El. Those were the first 40 days from after coming down on Shavasa B'Tamuz and seeing the terrible business of the eagle, of Bnei Yisrael dancing around the eagle, and the whole Maisha that took place as a result of that. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Yud Ches Tamuz, on the 18th of Tamuz, and he was davening and everything until Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Those 40 days. And during those 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for Hashem's forgiveness and so on. So it's interesting. Why is it that those 40 days are not days of Ratzon? In other words, the Torah is telling us that the 40 days, and this is how we live, that these days from El to Yom Kippur are days of unbelievable Ratzon. It's a tremendous Eis Ratzon. Because Moshe Rabbeinu went up and was crying out to Hashem and asking for forgiveness during that time. But what about the 40 days from Yudches Tammuz, the 18th of Tammuz, after the Chet Ha'Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he was there until Erev Rosh Chodesh Av, from Yudches Tammuz to Erev Rosh Chodesh Av, and he was crying and begging and so on. So why are those not days of Ratzon? Why are those not special days of Ratzon? So it seems, again, very, very simply, it seems that there's no question that after the Chet Ha'Egel, after that happened, with the golden calf, that B'nai Yisrael were in terrible pain. And they regretted what they did. But Lamaisa, they didn't do anything at all. They didn't do anything practical at all to see to it that this wouldn't happen again. They didn't make any real change. They felt bad. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. They didn't make any siyag, any geder, anything that would remind them not to make the same mistake they made earlier. Therefore, those days from Yudches Tammuz till Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul are not days of Ratzon. Only Elul, this time of Elul, when they took upon themselves to blow the shofar, to do something, to blow the shofar so that they shouldn't slip back into that mistake, that practical change or that practical project that they undertook created a time of Ratzon. That's what's clear from the Torah. And we learn from here, and this I just wanted to begin with a simple Hakdama. We learn from here a very, very basic yesod. That kol zman, that a person does not take practical steps to actually change himself in the seder of his life, and to prevent himself from repeating mistakes that he's made in the past, even if whatever happened in the past hurts him, and he's sincere about it, it does not create an Eis Ratzon in Shemayim. Hashem Yisbarach certainly loves us, and he cares about every single krechs. The Gemara says, Chazal say, that Rishayim Amaleim Charatis, that even the wicked, even Jews who are Rishayim, are Malayim Charatis, they're filled with regret over the mistakes that they've made. It's not that they're happy about who they are. It hurts them. And certainly they want to be better Jews. The difference is that in Shemayim they're asking each and every one of us, Lamaisa, as sweet as it is that it hurts you and that it bothers you, have you done anything in your life to make it different? Have you done anything, have you blown a shofar in your life to see to it that wouldn't happen again? What the Torah is saying is that what created the Yemei Ratzon from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur was the fact that we said it's not enough to feel bad about our lives. It's not enough to feel bad about our mistakes. And feeling bad does not have to change anything. But you know that a person can feel terrible and then he goes on with the same way of living. But what the Torah is teaching us is that if something hurts you from the past, so what are you doing? The question is, what are you doing to see to it that you won't return to the same matzav you were in? So it bothers you that your davening is not a good davening. It bothers you. Every one of us feels bad. We would like to daven better. So what was the shofar that you blew to see to it that your davening would be better? Did you take upon yourself, let's say, not to ever talk. Example, a person takes upon himself never to say a word when he has, not except for davening, when he has his tefillin on. Or to take upon yourself that every week, Lamashal, you should take one part of the davening to try to learn and to understand and to focus on the words, especially more than any other part. In other words, what Kabbalah, what Shofa was there? What did you do, Lemaisa, to see to it when it comes to, God forbid, an Aveira? And it was, and you don't want to go back into that. So the fact that it hurts you, that's important. But we see that during those first 40 days, from the 18th of Tammuz till Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, there's no question that it hurt us, that we over the Egel, it hurt us. There's no question that we felt bad about it. But there were no pu'ulas, there were no kabbalas, there was nothing practical that we took upon ourselves to prevent it from happening again. So we see that because on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Heviu kol shayfa b'machne, that because Rosh Chodesh Elul, Bnei Yisrael said, we can't go on living this way. We must do something. We must do something to prevent it from happening again, to remind us, to serve as a reminder. We must do something. So we shouldn't make this mistake. So that, when they did that, when they blew the shayfa, so the Torah is saying that's what made the Eis Ratzon. So this minig that we have, this minute that we have to blow the shofar during this time, to be ma'iras, to remind us that when it comes to doing tshuva, feeling bad, regret, remorse, and pain, of course, that's the beginning, that's the first nakuda of tshuva. We learned a lot about that in ma'iras of tshuva. But the ikar of tshuva is not feeling bad. The ikar of tshuva is to make serious hachlotas about how this year is going to be different and what I could do to make things different. That it shouldn't, that the way things were in the past, that past, that shouldn't repeat itself. And that's why, many of you know, that we have a lot of Ramazim for Elul. There are many hints for the month of Elul. And one of the Ramazim for Elul is the Arei Miklat. The cities of refuge. It's in this week's parasha, from Parasha Shoftim. But the remez is in Shmais, that the word Elul comes out from the pasuk Ve'elokim ina liyado v'samti l'chamakom. That a person kills somebody accidentally. It happened. Things didn't go well. So it says in pasuk Ve'elokim ina liyado v'samti l'chamakom. The first letters of the words come out to spell Elul. Ve'elokim ina liyado v'samti l'cham. Come out Elul. And all this from, and many times in the past I spoke about that, why is it, what do the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge, have to do with the time of Elul? In our parasha it says, Shalosh Arim Tavdilach, and it says, Tochim Lecha Haderach, you should set aside these cities, Tochim Lecha Haderach, and to prepare the way. And the whole site in the Kisvei of the month of Elul is the word Derech, Haderach. The whole Inyan of Elul is the Derech. So the avoid of this time of the year, and that's why it's such a good time to begin this man. The avoid of this time of the year is, first of all, a person has to admit, I'm not an intentional murderer, but I am a ritzeir. I'm an unintentional murderer. I didn't mean to murder the hours and the minutes of this past year. I didn't mean to murder the dreams and the hopes that I had that I would be a better Jew this past year. It was unintentional. I had the best intentions last Ne'ilah that this past year would be the most gewaldige year, and I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do this, and I would do better things, and I would do this and do that. It's a shaygeg. There's no question that each and every one of us is not chalila a ritzach b'meizit, it's a ritzach b'shaygeg. And the Shemesh Bar gave us this time of Elul, of Tachim Lecha Haderech, to go to the Ir Miklat, and the Ir Miklat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Menusi, Hashem is Menusi, and Mizgabi, Mizgavli, Beis Tzara, Hashem is the place that we run to, and the Beis Medrash is Kailait, the Beis Medrash is the place where a Jew goes to, that's the Ir Miklat of a Jew, is the Beis Medrash. As we daven this whole month, Achash Alti Meis Hashem, Shifti Beveis Hashem, Kol Yimei Chai, Lachzas Menayim Hashem Levake Beichol, Shifti Beveis Hashem, Kol Yimei Chai means, which means to sit and to learn, Shifti Beveis Hashem, to go, to learn. And Tachin Lecha Haderech means to take practical steps, to do something lemaisa, that there should be hachlotas and kabbalas, and the best hachlot and the best kabbalah that a person could make is to accept upon himself a time to learn, especially when it's vahashkama, to get up early in the morning and to learn early, which is the best time of the day. It's a gevaldige eis ratzon that is created in Shemayim. We need to begin their day in such a way that they come to learn. And we know how it is that at the beginning, again, I'm not saying davke to come learn here. There's a different shiur that if this is not for you, so you go someplace, you learn a daf yom, you do this, you do that. I certainly never have had any personal hakbadis, and nobody, it doesn't make a difference as long as he begins his day in the right way and he sustains that. He doesn't just start and go for a week, for 2 weeks, whether it's here or if he doesn't like here, then to go to someplace else. But the issue is that everybody's day, every person's day, should begin with the kol shayfa of Liman HaTorah. And that is mashpi on the entire day, since almost everybody here has to go to the work and to different places and to be away from Kedusha during the day. It's, you know, that when you try to come back at night and to learn after the hashpa of the day, it's very, very hard. Of course, you should try to have a seder at night and to do something. But the main eis ratzon of a Jew who's working, not just, but especially of a Jew who's working, is to blow the shofar for the first thing in the morning, is to learn b'hashkama. That has a gevaldige hashpa, shelo yita oid, that he shouldn't make any mistakes during the day. Because it's very, very easy to make mistakes during the day. It's very easy to fall back into the same thing, and to spend the rest of the time saying, "Oh, I feel so bad. I wish this wouldn't happen to me. I don't like this. I've tried to change." The idea is that a person should blow the shofar every morning of the year, should be an eis ratzon to get up and to learn, and that is ma'ir in Shemayim, a gevaldige eis ratzon that Hakadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're trying to do something practical. The first 40 days from Yiches Tammuz until Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul is not an eis ratzon. Even though it was very nice and it was very sweet and we were crying and davening and we said we're so sorry the Baruch Shalom. It's okay to say that you're sorry, but that didn't change the Netzias into an eis ratzon. What the Torah is teaching us is that when did it become an eis ratzon? When Yidden said, "Must speak, it's already enough just krechzing, we have to do something." And they blew the shofar. We have to do something to prevent it from happening again. We have to do something to practically change our lives. And when they did that, then the Torah says, then that brought a big eis ratzon in Shemayim. That when the Baruch Shem sees that we don't just talk about it in the krechs and cry, but we do something lemaisa. That's the ikka. So it's a very, very big schus that we have to begin the zman at this time. The mitzvah of Shemitah Ksafim, we begin on page Reish Tesvav. We're not going to spend a long time on this. Maybe 2 weeks, Be'erich. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. But I want to be able to return to the Seder that we're going from the beginning of the Sefer Mitzvah up to Mitzvah Tzitzis, which goes together with Tefillin, so it's not so good to separate between the Tefillin and the Tzitzis. But since this is the Eis Ratzon for this particular mitzvah of Shemitah Ksafim that I spoke a little bit about on Shabbos morning, so I thought it would be a very, very good thing to learn this. Now, some of the Chevra might have learned this with Binyamin. You were learning the Imre Yaakov 2 years ago. Not 2 years ago, but last year. You learned the Imre Yaakov, and you covered some of the Inyanim of you were learning Shemitah before the beginning of Shemitah. And I understand that you spent some time on Shemitah Ksafim, on the practical halachas of Shemitah Ksafim. Not everybody was there, and also, it certainly is important for those who were here to chazer it over, and now is the Zman and the Ace of Shemitah Ksafim, which certainly is very, very significant Ben Mitzad the halacha of Shemitah Ksafim, and Pnimius, I don't know if we'll spend time on that, but I spoke a little bit about it on Shabbos, but what the Indian is of Shamaitani, to let go and to relinquish one's hold on all of the debts and all of that he feels is owed to him during this time of the year, and especially at the end of Shavuos, at the end of Shemitah, that was in the last month of Shemitah. So I thought it would be very important. Those who have been here for the past couple of years I've been learning the Sefer Mitzvah Samalach, know that in the Sefer Mitzvah Samalach we learn the basic, through the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah, we learn the basic yesidus in the lumdus, in the concepts of the mitzvah, and then usually we spend some additional time afterwards learning it more about Eimek, some of the sugyas in Halacha, to learn more about Eimek on a deeper level, to understand the basics of that mitzvah. It's not a shir in Halacha, we're not learning Shulchan Aruch, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on all the pratim of the Halachas, but the basic yesidus, and to touch upon some of the important Halachas. So let's begin with the actual Lashon of the Rambam, on top of page Resh Tesavot. It's a kufma ma'alev. He shet zivona lahashmit k'sofim. The Rebbeinu Shalom commanded us, it was in this past parasha, in Parashas Re'eh, that Hashem Yisbarach told us, lahashmit k'sofim, to relinquish, let go. Shmita means to let go of, to stop. Lahashmit k'sofim, kloimar ha'chayvas kulam, all of the chayvas, all of the debts, kulam b'shnas ha'shmita. In the Shemitah year. Now that's a loaded couple of words there, Bishnas HaShemitah, as I mentioned on Shabbos. There's a very big machlokes about whether or not Shemitah's Ksofim, whether or not Shemitah is Mishametis at the beginning, during Shemitah, or at the end of Shemitah. At what point is Shemitah Mishametis? At what point are we obligated to let go of the money that's owed to us? At what point? Is it the beginning? Is it the end? Or is it some combination of both? We'll talk about it, Mitzvah. V'la'omra yizbarach, v'ashe yilacha es achicha, tashmeit yadecha. That which you have, meaning the chayv that is owed to you, that your brother owes to you, money, tashmeit yadecha. Tashmeit, pull back your hand. Tashmeit yadecha. Let go. Tashmeit yadecha. As we'll see, this has to do specifically with loans. It does not have to do, for instance, if you owe something when it comes to property or something, hakafes chanus, or there's a store that you owe money to, that you bought something. It's purely with loans. It's not with other things, but with loans. Tashmeit yadecha. Ukvar nichpal hatzivui hazeh. And this is repeated over there in the parasha, in Parashas Re'eh. This is the matter of Shemitah. Shamait es yadecha. It says again, it says twice. And that's very significant, we'll see. The Lashon, the next page. The Lashon at this after. B'shtei Shemitah akosa medaber. Why does it say twice? Why does it say tashmeit yadecha? Why does it say shamait and tashmeit? Why does it say twice? Let go. So it says in the Tesefta, b'shtei Shemitah akosa medaber. The Torah is talking about two Shemitahs. There are two types of Shemitah. This is also a very interesting question regarding how the two, or whether they're actually linked. The Sifri considers the possibility of them being entirely separate. But it says in the Tesefta, B'shtei Shemitahs HaKosim Adava, Achas Shemitahs Karkois, V'achas Shemitahs Ksofim. There are two Shemitahs. There's the Shemitah when it comes to land, Shemitah's Karka. That is the Shemitah that our brothers and sisters in Israel have been living with very practically during this past year, the entire year. Shemitah's Karka, allowing the land to rest, letting go of the land. Achas Shemitah's Karkos, v'achas Shemitah's Ksofen. And the less known Shemitah, but the Shemitah that originates in the Torah as well, is Shemitah's Ksofim. Now again, how those two are related and whether they have to be connected one to the other, as I said, and we'll see this after we do the piece of Mitzvah Melech, the Sifri actually considers the possibility that perhaps from the time that any person lends money, he would only count the two of them, the Malv and the Loiva, would only count their own 7 years. In other words, there is a possibility that's considered by Chazal and the Sifri that the Shemitah, when it comes to loans, the Shemitah's Ksofim has nothing to do with the Shemitah the Shemitah's Karkos, but the official 7 years that all Klai Yisrael is preserving. All of Klai Yisrael is keeping the same Shemitah. But it could be, the Sefri considers the possibility that, that as far as Shemitah's Ksafim is concerned, that it's a personal matter. When Reuven lends money to Shimon, the count begins. The count begins. And at the end, at, after 6 years of that, from the time of that loan, the Kar Shemitah Lashem, there would be a Shemitah. For those two, Reuven and Shimon. So there are millions of Shemitahs going on all over the place at different times, according to that possibility, which is rejected. That's not the halacha, of course, and it's not accepted. And in the end, the Sefri says, Talmud Leimer, B'shtei Shemitahs HaKosim Medaber, that the Torah is intentionally linking the two. And Shemitahs Ksafim depends upon Shemitahs Kakos. That's particularly significant from the Sugi and Gittin, where we learn that because of this linkage, since Bizmanenu, Shemitah's Karkos is, according to almost all the Rishonim, Shemitah's Karka, which is the view of Rebbe in the Gemara, Shemitah's Karka is what? It's Drabanan. It's not Deraisa. Because we don't have a Yovel now, right? So Shemitah's Karka, Shemitah of the land, is Drabanan. Therefore, Shemitah's Ksafim is also Drabanan. Shemitah's Ksafim is also Drabanan. What we find many Rishonim struggling to explain is, it seems that historically, there are many places where Shemitah's Ksafim was completely ignored, and they wouldn't even write up a prosable by Shemitah. Totally ignored. But according to the Rambam and the other Rishonim, Shemitah's Ksafim is a Drabanan. And the reason it's a Drabanan is because Shemitah's Karkos is a Drabanan. And Shemitah's Ksafim and Shemitah's Karka are Trey Rein Dlo Misparish and Misparna, two friends that are inseparable. So that's what the Rambam says here, B'shtei Shemitah's Ksafim and Medaber, Achas Shemitah's Karkos, V'achas Shemitah's Ksofim. U'mitzvahs Shemitah's Ksofim, Eina Neheges Me'atayr, which the Rambam tells us, that the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksofim is presently, Shkar, the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksofim is presently not Neheges Me'atayr, is presently not observed Midaraisa, Ela Bizman Shemitah's Karka, Neheges. The only time, the language here is a little bit unclear, and there are different girsas. It doesn't go smoothly. There are different girsas by Reb Chaim Helenrad and Reb Yosef Kapach. We're not going to go into all the girsas. If you're interested, you could see there in Eis Hay on top. But the Rambam is telling us that Shemitah's Ksafim is only when Shemitah's Karka is Midaraisa. Shemitah's Karka is Midaraisa when the Yovel is Midaraisa. And Yovel depends upon the majority of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. So because Yovel is not Midaraisa, the Mela Shemitah is not Midaraisa, Shemitah's Karkos, and Shemitah's Ksofim that is linked to Shemitah's Karkos. Kfar Zbar Mishpatei Mitzvah with Masechah Shviz, the Perek Basra, and the Pratim, the details of this, are explained in Masechah Shviz at the end of Masechah Shviz. Okay, let's go back. First of all, look in the Ein HaMelech on top. The Ein HaMelech sometimes is a preview of some of the things that are going to be coming up in a more succinct and brief way. But he also touches upon one or two other nakudas that are not going to be discussed right now at length, and we'll talk more about after we finish the Mitzvah HaMelech. But it's important to do. Look at Eis Aleph on page Resh Tesvav in the Ein HaMelech on top. The conclusion is that Shemitah is Meshametes at the end of the year, each and every one of us is going to take care of having a prosbul written during this month before Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to talk about the whole institution and the takana of prosbul, of what that is and how that works, even though the Rambam really didn't go into that, but we're going to go into that Bez Hashem. So Shemitah is Meshametes B'Soif Hashanah K'Pashtus HaPasik, as is the simple pshat in the pasik. We spoke about this Shabbos morning. Miketz Sheva Shanim Tas HaShemitah V'Zed Dvar HaShemitah. Miketz, the simple pshat of Miketz, is the end of the seventh year. I mentioned on Shabbos that the word Kates can also be beginning and end, as we say in Lashon HaKadosh, min ha-kotze el ha-kotze, from one end to the other end. So miketz can mean beginning and end, and the Rosh does learn that way, and therefore the Rosh is machmir, that one should make a shemitah, a prusbul, or at least to announce that he's a meshamet at the beginning of shemitah as well. Last Erev Rosh Hashanah, and this Erev Rosh Hashanah. Akapanim, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that Ein HaShmita Meshametas Ela B'Soif HaShana. Shmita cancels the chayvis. Shmita cancels the debts at the end of the year. Kepashas HaPasik Miketz Shevashonim Tasa Shmita V'Zed V'Ara Shmita. V'Lachein, Kishet, the Rambam, therefore, the Rambam writes in Mishneh Torah, Kishetishka chama belel, belel Rosh Hashanah, shomitzoy shvius, ovad hachoyv. That's the language of the Rambam. That when the sun, as the sun is setting on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, as the sun is setting, on the first night of Rosh Hashanah by Matzoy, coming into the first night of Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, as the sun is setting, by Matzoy Shvius, it's coming up in a couple of weeks, at the end of Shemitah, Ovad HaChayv. It's a very, very important lashon that the Rambam uses. We'll see shortly why the Rambam uses such a lashon. Ovad HaChayv, the debt, the chayv, is lost. It's fafalim. Ovad HaChayv, it's finished. The debt is lost. Lashon Rambam paretes mech Shemitah v'yoyevel lachadal. That's the Rambam's lashon in Shemitah v'yoyevel. Ulam le'inyin ha-mitzvah shemutl of la'asois. What is the mitzvah that a person has to do? In other words, the Rambam is saying that as the sun sets, Erev Rosh Hashanah, when the sun is setting into Rosh Hashanah, Ovad HaChayv. The Chayv, the debt, is cancelled, it's lost. So the question is, then what exactly is my mitzvah? Mitzvahs mean that I have to do something. There's something that's required of me. So here the Rambam is telling us, Ovad HaChayv. Ovad HaChayv means it disappears. The debt disappears. So that's very good. It means the Baruch Shalom is doing something, and the Torah is taking away the Chayv. The question is, what is the mitzvah which is mutelus alai? What exactly is my responsibility? What do I have to do? Is there something that I need to do? So we're going to talk about in the Biurei Hashitas. Ulam le'inin ha-mitzvah shemutal olav la'asos. Regarding the mitzvah that I have to do, ulai hukaydim seif hashana mamish. Perhaps there is some mitzvah that we need to do even before the end of the year. And if that's the case, we don't have much time left. We need to find out what that is. Because most of us haven't done any mitzvah as far as this is concerned at all during the entire year. So if there is a mitzvah that needs to be done during the Shemitah year, what is it? Ayin b'fnim b'biur ha-shitis. We'll talk about that in the Biur ha-shitis. V'ini ayin b'rambam paraktes mishmitah lochalef shemashma sh'af l'dvoya chayvay muter toich shnas ha-shmitah. From the Rambam, it sounds like he even allowed, the malveh is allowed during this past year, during the Shemitah year, the malveh is allowed to go and to ask for his money back. Since Ein HaShemitah V'Shemetas Ela B'Saif, Shemitah's Ksafim is at the end of the year. So it sounds like during the Shemitah year itself, this year, the Malveh is allowed to go to the Loiva to ask for his money. V'Rak B'Saifa Hu D'Nesar. And it's only at the end of the Shemitah year that the Isser of being Tevei, that it would be Osir for the Malveh to ask for his money. The Hainu Loi rak deha esay, de vized dvar shmita en ela b'seif hashana. Not only is the mitzvah saseh of being mishamet, which we'll talk about what that means, the positive commandment of shmita's ksaf, not only does that take effect b'seif hashana at the end of the year, elagam halav v'lo yigais. There's a love over here of lo yigais. Lo yigais es achiv, es re'ehu. Means that the malveh is not allowed to pressure. Yigais means to put pressure. He's not allowed to pressure the loiva to come and to ask the loiva to mun, the loiva for money. Once the halacha of Shemitah's Ksafen is in effect, he's not allowed to come and to ask for the money. So from the Rambam, it sounds like that the lav, elagam halav, the v'lo yigais, ena ela b'saif hashana, that the iser would only be at the end of Shemitah, when Shemitah is Meshametis. In other words, during Shemitah, from the Rambam it sounds like, during Shemitah, the mal was allowed to go to the loiva. From what point, and ask for the money, from what point is the malva not allowed to go from Rosh Hashanah? He's not of the eighth year, meaning of Matzoy Shvi'is, the end of Shemitah. Since Shemitah is Meshametis B'Saif, as the sun is setting at the end of Shemitah, from that point on, the malva is forbidden to go and to ask for his money back. So that's what it sounds like from the Rambam. Gam halav de la yigais ena ela b'soif hashana ayin sham. Ulam ayin b'rosh. The Rosh b'perek hashalech in Maseches Gittin. The Rosh in the sugya on the sugya in Gittin. The sugya is lamed vav and lamed zayin. Simen chof shekosev da'af de shmita ena mishametas ela b'soif. The Rosh says a tremendous chiddush. We don't pass on like the Rosh lahalacha, but the Rosh says a big chiddush. Daf the Shemitah ain't mishametes ela b'saifa, that even though Shemitah is only mishametes, it only cancels the debts at the end of the seventh year. Bikomakom halav de lo yigais humiyad. This is a very big chiddush. The lav, the iser, the iser of lo yigais, of the malva asking the loiva for the money, that lav begins at the beginning of Shemitah, not at the end of Shemitah. That's miyad. Shekosav Sham, the Rosh writes over there, Miyad Sheeschila Shnas HaShemitah, immediately from the beginning of Shemitah, Ein Bezdin Boitkin Ligvais Shum Chayv, the Bezdin does not accept, the Rosh says, any requests to help individuals get back the money that is owed to them. The Gam HaMalva Ba'atzmai, Ein Loi Ligvais HaLoiva, and the Malva himself, the Rosh says, is not allowed to go to the loiva to pressure him for his money. The chsiv, it says in Pasuk, lo yigais es achiv ve'esre'ehu, ki kara shmita l'Hashem. You are forbidden to pressure your brother, your friend, ki kara shmita l'Hashem. Because a shmita has been declared. He has declared a shmita to Hashem. So the Rosh says, miyad shenichnesa hashmita lo yigais. From the time that shmita has been declared, which is the beginning of the seventh year. Miyad shenichnesa shmita lo yigais. There's a lav, there's an iser of lo yigais. Aval im yifra haloive me'atzmai. The Rosh says, however, if during the entire shmita year, the loive, the guy that owes the money, the loive comes on his own to pay back, the malva is not allowed to go, according to the Rosh, the malva is not allowed to go and to demand the payment of the loan. But if the loiva comes forward to offer the money, to give the money back during Shemitah, the malva is not obligated to say, which he is obligated after Shemitah, by the eighth year, Matzoy Shviz. During Shemitah, he's not obligated to say, the malva is not obligated to say, Mishamet ani. No. I'm Mishamet. Don't pay me back. I let go of the chayv. You don't have to pay me back. Afterwards, by Masoy Shviz, he's chayv to say, Mishamet ani. Nope. It's not a chayv. There's no longer any debt. So the Rosh says this very interesting compromise. On the one hand, he says, Shmita's Ksafim, as far as Lo Yigais is concerned, Shmita's Ksafim begins, the Rosh holds, by the seventh year, by Rosh Hashanah of Shmita. And from that time on, the Malva is not allowed, Midaraisa, to go and to demand his money. He's not allowed to go ask for the Chayv. But as far as the obligation or the Mitzvah's Asay of Shmita is concerned, the Mitzvah's Asay, that the Malva should say, which according to many days, that's the mitzvah say, that the Malva should say, Mishamet ani, I let go of the debt. That mitzvah say only comes into effect by Matzoy Shviz, at the end of Shemitah. Which would mean that during the Shemitah year, the Rosh says, if a loiva comes to pay the malva, so then the malva is allowed to say shkoyach. He's allowed to accept the money. He doesn't have to be mishamet. What is the nature of the responsibility of the loiva? That's the question. Like, how should the loiva sleep during the Shemitah year? What exactly, how does he feel during the Shemitah? The loiva owes $1 million to the malva. So he learned the Gemara a little bit, and he heard a little bit about this rush. So what is he supposed to be feeling like during that year? So on the one hand, he knows that the malva can't come after him. It's like you guys. On the other hand, he has this funny feeling like he's supposed to give that money back. And it's not really a funny feeling at all. We're going to talk about the underlying question, the big question really when it comes to this mitzvah of Shemitah Ksafim, is what exactly does Shemitah Ksafim accomplish? What does it mean? Does the chayv actually disappear? Can the loiva feel totally good about himself after Shemitah? Does he feel fine? Because like the Rambam says, Avad HaChayv, does that mean it disappears from Shemayim too? Is it totally gone? I don't have to worry about it. I have a clear conscience, $1 million. I can pass by the guy and wave to him. I don't have to go to a different shul. You know, people usually go to daven in different places when they owe money to somebody for a long time. They start davening somewhere else. So do I have to daven someplace else? Do I have to feel embarrassed? Or I just say a freilich and shmita and you know, that's it, I'm done. This is great. I made it. I made it. And over the chayv, and it's finished, and there's no money at all. I don't owe a penny. There's not in Bezdin Shemala, not Bezdin Shemat. Nobody's coming after me. Not any malach, not any human being. I'm done. So do we say that the chayv disappears entirely? The seventh year, the eighth year, after Shemitah, do we say the chayv is nishmat altogether? It's finished? Or do we say that no, that there is that the chayv is an outstanding debt, but the malva's hands are tied by the Torah, the malva's hands are tied, and he can't do anything about this situation. But there still is the metzias of a chayv. Obviously, this would have an impact upon the person doing tshuva, and this would have, in many other ways, as we're going to talk about this, that there are many nafkamins that would come as a result of that. And if that's the case, then the guy is not going to feel too comfortable being next to the malva. Ein other meis panav nei bal chayv is a klal in human behavior that people are uncomfortable when they owe money to other people, so they act funny and they avoid and so on and so forth. So there are many nafkamines, though, in halacha, not just a matter of feelings. What exactly takes place by Shemitah Tzksaf? Is Shemitah Tzksaf a mechila of the chayv? In other words, is the malva being forced to say by the Torah, the malva himself would like the money back, but perhaps the Torah is forcing the malva to say, I'm meichel on the money. And the loiva says, oh, that's wonderful, you're meichel. It's mechila. So mechila would mean that would seem to imply that if there's mechila, that he doesn't owe anything. Or do we say no, that there is this imposition upon, this artificial imposition that is placed upon the malva to be mishamed, but there isn't mechila, and the chayv is somehow, the debt is still circulating in their lives. And if that's the case, what exactly is supposed to happen? And should the loiva pay back? And if the loiva comes to pay, what does the malva do? The malva has the same mishamet any. What happens if the loiva says, I appreciate that, and you're an erlich chayid, but I don't want to live with this hanging over my head. I insist that you take the money. I insist that you accept the money. Is the malva allowed to accept the money? The loiva insists. He says, I don't know. I don't want to have this business. Shemitah, hin and her. I owe you money. And I feel that I don't want to. I mean, this is a very unusual case. Mostly it's the other way, but there are those individuals who would say that I don't want to go on like this, and I want you to have the money. So I'm giving you the money. So is the ma'av allowed to accept the money? It's mishamet to me. The guy says, I insist. Afal pichin. The Gemara talks about that. Those who learned the Daf Yomi should be somewhat familiar with this sugya. It goes together with the sugya at the beginning of Makkos. But Lamed Vav and Gittin and Lamed Zayin and Makkos Vav Gimel. Those are the two sugyas. It is in Kedushin also a little bit, but those are the two main places. So what happens when the guy says, Afal pichin? So is the ma'av allowed to accept the money? Maybe he is, maybe he's not. Maybe he's allowed to accept it, but not b'teres halva. Maybe he can't accept it as a payment of a loan. Maybe he can accept it as what? A matana, as a gift. As a gift, but not as a payment of a loan. So we'll see. These are important questions. But all of these questions are based upon the most basic, really all comes back to the most basic question regarding the definition of Shemitah Ksavim, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes in the Shitas HaRishayim. So this is the Shitas HaRosh. That the lav of lo yigais begins by Shemitah, by the seventh year, and throughout the seventh year, the malva is not allowed to go to the loiva to ask for the chayv, to pay the chayv. However, as far as the mitzvahs say of the malva saying mishamatani, that only begins at the end of the seventh year. Therefore, during that year, the Rosh says, if the loiva comes to pay the malva is allowed to accept the money. He's not allowed to go to ask for it, but he's allowed to accept it. The Radbaz tries to show that there really is not a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh, but it's not so pashut. And we're not going to go into that, really. It's not something, since the other Rishonim hold that the Shitas HaRosh, the Rosh is Chalek in the Rambam, and that the Shitas HaRosh is a Shita Yechidah. He is the only one that has such a view, that there are these two levels of Shemitas Ksafim. There's the Lav that begins by the 7th, and there's the Mitzvah Asay that kicks in by the 8th. The Rosh is the only one that says like that. Shitas HaRishonim. Hini b'parshas re'ei. When are we davening? Is it 5:50? Yeah. Say that. Hine b'parshas re'ei. Ksiv miketz sheva shanim ta'aseh shmita. We just learned in last parsha. At the end of 7 years, ta'aseh shmita. Zed var shmita shamayt kol bal ma'she yodai ashe yashiv re'ei. And the Torah says, "V'zed v'ashmita." This is the inyan of the shmita. Shamay kol bal ma yashad yaday. Whoever has his hand over the other person, meaning whoever is owed money by another person, that so he has his hand on the other person. Asher yashab re'ehum, v'asher yiluches achicha tashmeit yadecha. Take your hand off the guy. Pull your hand away. In other words, leave him alone. It's finished. Tashmeit yadecha. V'hini b'gemara gittin lamed zayin mabeis, pirshu lahay kro, sha'amach zeh choyv l'chaveir b'shviz. The Gemara says, in explaining this pasuk, that if the loiva comes to return the debt, to pay the debt, b'shviz, by shmita, again, it would mean after, shmita, if the person comes to pay his debt, shehamach zecher lechavei b'shviz, sarach sheyomer loy, the malva has to tell the loiva, the lender has to tell the borrower, Reuven, tell Shimon, mishametani, I'm mishamet, I relinquish my hold over you, I let go, mishametani, shnemar, v'zed v'ashmita, says in pasuk v'zed v'ashmita. V'zehu mitzvahs shmitas ksofim. This is the mitzvah of shmitas ksofim. Shemonu kol moinei ha-mitzvahs. That all of the moinei ha-mitzvahs count on their list of 613 mitzvahs. All those who have written svarim of the 613 mitzvahs count this as one of the mitzvahs. There is one notable exception. Reb Sadigon does not have it. Reb Sadigon doesn't have it in the Sefer mitzvahs. We'll see. We'll talk about that. Ashemanu kol mani hamitzvus. Achein begeder hamitzvus. So all the Rishonim have Shmitas Ksafim on their list of 613. However, begeder hamitzvah, as far as how to define the mitzvah, what is the mitzvah, nechlek l'Rishonim zal, there the Rishonim disagree. Im ha'chayv paka me'eleha b'shviyis. This is the big machlokes. Does the chayv, does the debt disappear on its own b'shviyis? In the terminology of the Rishonim, that's called an afkata de malka, that the king himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah cancels the debt. Doesn't make a difference whether you're happy or not happy. Doesn't make a difference if you agree with Shemitah, you don't agree with Shemitah, you believe in it, you don't believe in it. Similar to what we find by Shemitah's Kakos. An afkata de malka, which there too, there's a very big machlokes of how to define Shemitah's Karkos. Is it required upon the person to be, is the mitzvah that the person be mafkir his sada, that he lets go of his field on Shemitah, or is it something that happens automatically, that the Torah takes away his field, or is mafkir his field? So when it comes to Shemitah's Ksafim, we have the same question. The Rishonim disagree. Im ha'chayv paka me'eleha, does the debt automatically on its own disappear? Oda ha'mitzvah shehu yafkia ha'chayv. Or is there a mitzvah, I say, that is incumbent upon the malva to do something to be mafkia the chayv? That the malva has to practically do something. There's a mitzvah that the Torah wants him and is telling him, listen, we're waiting for you. The chayv, the debt exists. And we're telling you that when it comes to the end of the Shemitah year, you have to do this mitzvah to let go of the chayv. Not that the Torah takes it away, but that he has to let go. That's the big machlokes when it comes to Shemitah's Ksav. The mitzvah shu yafkia chayv ukamay sheizbor bez Hashem, as we will see. That's the main question. All the machlokes in Shemitah's Ksafim come back to that question. Is Shemitah's Ksafim an afkaita de malka? Is it something that Hashem does, that the Torah takes away the chayv, the Torah cancels the debt? Or is it an afkaita de gavra? Or is it the gever, the person, the malva, lets go of the debt? All of the questions come back to that shayla. Shita Samordechai. The Shita Samordechai. The Mordechai Meseches Gittin Ois Shin Pei Kosa B'Shem Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKoyen. This is a very famous Shita that's brought in the name of Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKoyen. The Shvi'is Mishametes HaChoyv Me'eleha. The Mordechai brings the Shita of Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKoyen that Shvi'is Shemitah is Mishametes HaChoyv Me'eleha. There's an automatic process that takes place. Matsoi Shvi'is Miketz Sheva Shonim at the end of Shemitah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, with the setting of the sun, that the Shemitah is Mishametes on its own. Va'afilu imloy omar Mishamet ani. Even if the Malva did not say the magic words Mishamet ani, the Malva does not say Mishamet ani. He doesn't. He still is holding out. He doesn't say Mishamet ani. Why? Da'afkaita de malka hu. It's a hafkar. Hafkar means to remove, to pull away. La'afkia. It's nafkaita de malka. The king himself, the Ribbono Shel Olam, takes the debt away. Da'afkaita de malka hu. Ume'eleha nishmat ha'chayv. And on its own, the chayv is cancelled. U'mitzvah ba'alma hu, and Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKoyen says, that it's a mitzvah ba'alma, nothing is hinging upon it, but there's a mitzvah ba'alma, there's epis a mitzvah for the malva to go along with this higher event that's taking place by Hashem, there's a mitzvah ba'alma for the Malva to say, to go along with that, to accept the Efkaita de Malka, and to say, Mishamatani, I accept Hashem's will. That's really what it is. I accept Hashem's will, and Mishamatani. Mitzvah ba'alma hu shiyema ha-malva mishamet, it says here, it's printed Eini, but that's a, obviously that's a printing mistake, but Mishamet Ani. So that's a mitzvah ba'alma for the person to say, Mishamet Ani. But that's not the actual yisoid of what Shemitah's Ksofim, that's not really what Shemitah's Ksofim is. Shemitah's Ksofim is Nafkaita de Malka, it takes place by the Torah, it takes place by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vizel Loshon HaMordechai Sham. And these are the actual words of the Mordechai in the name of Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. Shol Rabbeinu Chizkiel Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. Rabbeinu Chizkiel asked Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen, Libi Naikvi V'nstapakti, my heart is troubled and I'm unclear. Al Maise Be'echet Shayanayish Be'chaveh Mikvah Shevashanam. There's a malva that's going after the loiv already for a long time. 7 years, the guy owes him money. Have you heard such a thing? That a person should owe another person money for so long. The loiv owes the malva money for 7 years. Va'ata toivai. And he's been coming after him. The loiv is watching the clock. And he's trying to hold out till Shemitah, right? And he said, I can't. My father, my mother, my dog, my this, my that, the work, I lost my job, you know. It's not working out. And the malva's going after the guy for the money. 7 years. I really was about to do it. I was just about to pay, but then it happened that Shemitah was Meshamet. Ach b'shona ha-shmita, how's the Shemitah? What can I do? Ach b'shona ha-shmita, loy bo'elov, v'loy omeloy Meshamet ani. The Malva never said Meshamet ani. The Malva is upset. This Malva is trying for 7 years, and he never said Meshamet ani. He never said, I'm Meshamet. I let go. V'shem ha-kevin sh'ov ha-shmita v'lo yom ha-mishamet ani sula m'chuyiv l'hashmit. No. It could be that since Shemitah has come and it's gone, and the Malva never said Mishamet ani, maybe now that it's the after Shemitah, that maybe now the Malva can return to going back to Eloiva and say, okay, I didn't bother you by Shemitah or the 8th year. I didn't bother you, but now I want my money. I'm coming back to you. I didn't say anything during Shemitah. But now I want my money. That's the question of Rabbeinu Chizkiel asked Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. V'zu heishiv l'inyan hashmatas ksofim kibalti. Rabbeinu Avigdor says, as far as Shemitah's ksofim is concerned, I have a Kabbalah. Shashvis mishametis me'eleh. Those are historic words. The shvis is mishametis on its own. Af al pi shloi oma mishametani. Even though the guy, the malva, never says mishametani. There's a mitzvah, that perhaps is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to say the words, Mishamatani. And as what can I do, the malva? My only responsibility is to say Mishamatani. But that's not what makes it happen. If I say it or I don't say it, it happens. So the only thing is, mitzvah, the Ram Yalei, Ba'amira, Dechsiv, V'zed, Dvar HaShmita. These are the words he learns, the Dvar HaShmita. Like the Dibur of Shmita. The only mitzvah that is on the malva is to say Mishamatani. But as far as how does Shemitah actually take place, so that is that the Shemitah is Meshametes Me'elah. So according to Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen, the answer is that the Malva cannot go back and ask. The Torah took away the Chayv. It's Ovar HaChayv. The Chayv is lost during the Shemitah year. And the only thing that he didn't do, he didn't say Meshametani. No, he missed his mitzvah of saying Meshametani. But as far as the debt is concerned, the Chayv, that's already fulfilled. We'll see tomorrow that the Or Zeruah holds like that as well. And then we're going to learn the very remarkable shita of the Urain. Okay.